You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, I'm delighted to have Lucia Renee return as my guest. Lucia Renee has been a professional actress, a computer science consultant, a teacher of self-discovery, and more recently, a writer. Her amazing metaphysical journey, captured in her book, Unplugging the Patriarchy, is an absolute must-read. An exploration of consciousness spanning 40 years drew her to the practices of Hinduism, Zen, Vajrayana Buddhism, and culminated in a 17-year apprenticeship to an enlightened master of American Buddhism, psychic development, and mysticism. During this time, she was ordained as a Buddhist monk and lectured on meditation and mysticism at universities throughout the United States. After a near-death experience, she returned to assist in 3D, and her work, between now and the end of 2012, involves rebalancing the feminine/masculine energies on the planet. At the present time, she is actively empowering women to throw off their conditioning in order to stand in their power. So, let's welcome her back now. Hi, Lucia. How are you?
I'm great, Lance. I'm just so happy to reconnect with you.
Me too. You know, I was reviewing your book, and I was started to tell you about this just before the show, and I was just blown away by the profound wisdom that you share with us in the book, and your journey is such a mystical, magical journey, and it just shed so much light on our history, our background. I just can't thank you enough for writing it.
Well, it's starting to be evidenced, isn't it, some of the information in the book. Of course, it's not new. I wasn't the first to say many of these things, but I think it managed to be pulled together in a way where the big picture was really exposed.
Yes.
Yeah, so now, of course, the work that the collaboration of women that I was involved in did, we worked on an energetic level, you know, disassembling the energetic structures that underlie the patriarchy. But that, of course, is working on a very subtle level of creation.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes time for that to filter down into the 3D manifest world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we started to see evidence of that big time in 2008 when the economy started to tank. And they keep telling us it's all over, but we're smarter than that. We really don't believe them. We can tell that the whole thing is unraveling.
Well, that's what I hope. But for all of those poor people that look out into 3D and see the chaos and the destruction and the plans of the elite, and also the energetic shifts. I mean, there have been so many earthquakes and volcanoes and earth changes going on. Can you share with us what your take is on the spiritual side and what's happened since we last spoke?
Sure. I'm very big on taking responsibility, and I think that each of us chooses what we experience every moment. That's probably the underlying concept that one needs to address to begin with. But we are in a situation, an unprecedented situation, really, where we are pivoting from one world into another, and both are present this year, and all stops are off. So we can either, on a personal level, choose to play everything out in the physical world and watch all of the experiences that are drawn into our life and live through those on an emotional, intellectual, physical level. Or we can go all the way over to the other end of the spectrum and play everything out in consciousness. Mm-hmm. And most of us fall someplace in between, don't we?
Yes.
So, but the important thing to understand in terms of the collective is that really this system, with all of its corruption and oppression, and that I think includes the earthquakes and the flooding and so on, that's just Mother Earth's participation in the cycle coming to an end and her doing whatever is needed to shift human consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the collective, we this abusive patriarchal society that is ending really only stays in place because we give it permission to.
Mm.
And so that's what my book really is about. It begins for someone or continues, it amps up the journey, if they've already begun that journey, of unplugging their energies from a world that is dying, that is meant to die at this time. No problem with it dying. It's supposed to die. But I realize for the personal self, that can be very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, especially when, you know, we are not sure about what's on the other edge of the cliff, you know, whether or not we can fly or not. And, of course, we are veiled in consciousness, so we don't have memory of our past, and that is kind of a bit of a problem for us.
Yeah, and that's why I really am seeing that this year is about being totally in the moment. We can't know the future. I think, you know, it was curious to me because everybody does their psychic projections for 2011 and astrological projections. And this year, I could not bring myself to read a single one. And I thought, that's odd. Why? What would be the harm? And in pondering it, I've realized that if we are given a future, if we are given a vision of the future, at this point on the planet, we have the ability to dream anything, to manifest, really, anything. And so if we're given a future, we would focus on that and dream it into existence. The beauty of it is we can dream anything this year. There are no limits to what we can dream, personally and in terms of the collective, the shift. So, you know, my view is let's ratchet it up as far as we can. Mm-hmm. And so if you can't know the future, and really we've never been able to know the future because it doesn't exist. There are alternate futures, right?
Right.
All we can know is the present. And so whenever I feel fear coming up for myself, I always just drop back into the present moment. I let go of the thought that is worrying about the future or reminiscing about the past, and I drop into the moment. I say, okay, is there a problem in this moment?
Right.
And generally the answer is no.
No.
There's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I keep pondering the origins of humankind, and there's increasing evidence, and you bring this up in your book, that you know, hundreds of thousands of years ago, we were cloned by the Anunnaki. But there's a puzzle that I can't seem to solve, and that is, isn't it a spiritual limitation to hold on to the belief in separation and fragmentation? And how could an advanced civilization and their offspring continue to enslave us in such a low vibration? How does that involve the spiritual part of a civilization? Are they advanced or not?
Who are
you? Is it important to know any of this? Is this just, you know, mind stuff going on?
So are you equating the Anunnaki with the global elite, the power elite, the Illuminati, whatever you call them?
Well, I'm seeing those people as offspring and having been bred off the various bloodlines.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
You know, the reptilian offshoots and the royal offshoots and the, you know, the those who are holding the purse strings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I think the problem, the way I view it, is that we live in a world of dark and light, right? At least if you're viewing it from the vantage point of duality, from the personal self. If you rise up out of that and you view it from the vantage point of the universal self, it's more like the dance of Leela, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of, So there is no good and bad or light and dark. But the idea, I think, is that this was a light world, and the experiment in consciousness was to inject darkness in it, because there would then, that would advocate growth in consciousness, right, for both light beings and dark beings. Mm. And if one can come into a place where they reconcile the dark and the light, where they reconcile and bring to rest all polarities within consciousness, then we ascend into unity consciousness. This is enlightenment, right?
So
the goal was to see, can you create a planet, or the experiment was to see, can you create a planet of free will, which we have here on Earth?
Mm-hmm.
Can you inject darkness into this light planet? And let's see what happens. And the problem is that the experiment got out of control. And the reason it got out of control, I mean, seriously, out of control, I think we have to agree.
Absolutely. Is, no question about it.
Is that darkness knows no limits. Darkness didn't want to learn from the light. Darkness wanted to control and own and oppress, right?
Right.
So darkness knew no boundaries. And the light, I think, you know, there have been light soldiers and brigades of soldiers coming in from other dimensions and all kinds of maneuvers to try and balance things out. But my seeing is, and I have to give my friend Analia credit for this, who pulled me back when I died. I spoke a little bit about her on the last call I was with you on. But she's a being who's here for the first time, first incarnation, has been clairvoyant since the time she came down the birth canal. So her wisdom is really unprecedented.
Wow.
And her feeling is that we've reached a time, and I agree, I can confirm this when she says it energetically within myself, we've reached a time where that is no longer acceptable. Darkness is no longer acceptable on the playing field. Light does hold the playing field, but at this point it is absolutely appropriate to say to one who is holding the dark, that's it. Either you change, either you return to the light, or you must leave now. And you can define leave in whatever way you want. You can get on a spaceship and go. You can die and leave the body. You can walk out with your body if you know how to do that mystically. There are a lot of ways to leave. But that is happening with, you know, if you want the global elite gossip.
Yes, I do.
That is happening at an unprecedented rate. They are returning to the light, so much so that the global elite is now fractured.
Well, I had heard rumors of that, but some of that comes through channeled sources, and it's difficult to verify anything channeled lately. I try to rely on my own information, but my sense of things is that there is some kind of chaos going on.
Yeah.
And then there may be those that are not aware yet that the light is holding the final trump cards, and they're just simply acting out like little children that are, you know, ignorant. But
you mean of the global elite, you mean?
Yes, right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I think the indoctrination is so complete. You know, they have no structures left anymore. Those have all been disassembled. But what they do have is sort of a hoodwinked, the hoodwinked masses, because
yes,
the indoctrination
yes.
has been so complete that if they can just keep saying, you know, well, everything is fine and do this, do that, and people do like cattle, then they can continue to pull off something of a coup. But that's getting harder and harder.
Well, what do you think would bring an end to this superficiality and dumbing down and false division that's artificially created and maintained?
Yeah, well, it is happening. It's happening on the level of consciousness. I mean, things are moving so quickly. If you just look back over the last year, all of the information that has come to light, all of the information that's now in the mass media, all of the whistleblowers, it's unprecedented, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while you'll read a poll that was taken, and, you know, the majority of people believe at this point, not so much that 9/11 was an inside job, perhaps, but that the government knew about it. This is a huge breakthrough in consciousness.
Yes.
That the masses could believe that at this point.
Yes.
You know, so I think it is happening. And we have to remember that this is not, this has nothing to do with intellectual understanding.
Right.
The mind can be in a fog, but still the inner being is awakening. Things are brightening up inwardly in terms of consciousness, and the collective is really spiraling up at this point. It is happening.
Well, you know, that's why it's so refreshing to have chats with you and other people like you that are in the know, because sometimes down here it looks pretty bleak, you know, with the chemtrails overhead and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Now, you had a near-death experience, and I'm curious about, I've had people on my show in the past, like Daniel Brinkley and PMH Atwater and so on and so forth, but who talk about a lifetime review that happens when you cross over to the other side. And what is your personal experience of a near-death experience, and how does that? How do you see that as? How do you see it working?
Well, you know, I guess first of all, there's a technical distinction in near death and death. I really did die because there were people taking my pulse, and my heart had stopped, and my breath had stopped. So I know that I physically died, but there was no time, I guess, for a review.
Oh,
I did. What I reviewed was because I had this woman standing over me who has some shaman abilities. She herself had been pulled back from the other side when she had died, and so she then knew how to do that inwardly, and so she saw right away that it wasn't time for me to die, that I was needed on the planet because I have a particular dharma to do, and I've been wired in a certain way inwardly to do it, and there's no one else wired in that particular way.
Uh-huh.
So she really felt strongly, and her guidance was, no, she needs to come back. So my attention, I think, at that point, if you could call it that, of course the mind and body and emotional body are out of the loop at that point, so it's just the universal self that's going through the debate. But my debate was, do I really have to go back? You know, human life is difficult, and
no kidding.
I had put in a lot of work, and I was tired, and I thought, is there any way to play this from the other side, to stay and support it from the other side? Is there any way to hand off the torch to somebody else?
Right.
And at that point, she called me again and said, no, Lucia, you have to get back in your body. And at that point, I debated, all right, she's right. I have to come back into my body and finish the work. And if I'm going to do that, I'm out, right? I'm completely formless at this point.
Mm-hmm.
How should I go back in? And I made a decision to come back in as the embodiment of all 12 dimensions, because that would mean that the work that I'm doing on the planet would be the most powerful possible.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So so no review. I didn't get the privilege of having a review of my life. Maybe I have that to look forward to.
Wow. Well, now speaking of the dimensions, we are theoretically moving through some of these dimensions. There's the Schumann resonance, of course, for our wonderful planet, and she seems to be evolving into a higher realm. Is it possible that we're going to have that experience as well of moving through the dimensions at some point?
What does that mean to you, moving through the dimensions?
Well, moving out of duality and limitation and the need for a physical body, moving into a light body, or moving one's light body out of the duality of material realms.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely the answer to the first part of the question, I think, is yes, we're moving out of duality. Are we going to maintain our bodies or have a light body? That I have not a clue. But, you know, we're moving into the vibration of what within the personal self, the subtle physical body, is the heart chakra or energy center. And that's balance, that's unity, that's unconditional love. So one way or another, by hook or by crook, we're all moving there, like it or not. Some of us may choose to leave because we don't like that, right? We want to hang on to the old third-dimensional duality.
Right.
Yeah. So, and I suppose those people may go someplace else and continue to play games in duality. I don't know. But, I mean, that's sort of where we're headed, and how we get there is the question. Do we play it out in the physical world, or do we play it out in terms of consciousness?
What would that look like if we were to play it out in consciousness?
Oh, we'd just be there. We can go there any time. We can just snap it. So, you know, but that's a little bit esoteric. My philosophy is to say each of us, because we participate in the collective, right? Mm. The collective is just that, a collective of consciousness, individual consciousness.
Mm.
And so if each of us is willing to take responsibility and do the work for clearing ourselves and coming back into balance, then that's just one more individual consciousness that's in balance, and that immediately impacts the whole. Because really, one person's consciousness, if they are evolved, if they actually awaken, offsets the lower vibrating consciousness of thousands of people. So it's not so much numbers we're looking for, numbers of people, but it's a percentage of consciousness. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yes, yes, I do. It's almost similar to the pyramid theory, that it takes so much energy to create one conscious being on the planet. But at this particular time, it seems that we're all being given the possibility of raising our consciousness and experiencing a higher consciousness.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And at some point, there should be a tipping point that will become obvious to those who are working in this area, that will assure us that we have made that kind of shift.
Yeah.
Now, have you noticed a lot of people are curious about what's causing the mass die-offs of different species of animals around the globe. And, of course, that, like everything, it could have multidimensional explanations. What's your take on that?
You know, I've discussed this with my friend Analia just the other night. We were looking into it. Because we keep tabs on the global elite, and you know, there are different people who are working directly with them to help the global elite raise consciousness and return to light. Mm. And so we were asking ourselves the question, are we okay for now? Is there anything else that needs our attention in terms of the global elite? And the answer was no. And we began scanning and looking for other situations, and that came up in the discussion. And we meditated on it for a moment, and what we both saw was that it appears to be that someone is playing with frequencies, that they're directing frequencies at a particular species to see if they can target a species and change the vibration.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yes.
It's part of the mind control game that's being played, and it's very sophisticated. We know little about it. But I think that's why individual species are dropping. It's not all birds fall from the sky. It's just blackbirds, right?
Or exactly.
Just crabs in the UK, or just a certain type of fish. And so I'm not sure if they are succeeding or failing. They may actually be failed experiments if they are trying to bring blackbirds under control and make them behave a certain way. And they're over-amping them and killing them off. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it is preparation for trying to hone in on different segments of society or cultures and control.
Yes.
Yeah. And so we traced the line back, and we said, is this being perpetrated by the global elite? And the answer was no. It appeared to us to be on the inner planes a sort of rogue military element. Someone who's just taken a left turn, you know, some general in charge of mind control someplace who's really kind of gone offline.
Well, there are a lot of those, aren't there?
I think there are.
I mean, that's almost all that's left at the moment.
Yeah, rogue.
You know, all the black operations, and no one knows which one is doing what, and they're all operating on their own, authority, and they're all egomaniacs. So, that seems very likely.
We're actually, I have a Facebook group called Women Standing in Our Power, and last year we focused on a particular company and the CEO of the company. I won't mention the name, but it's a very problematic company. And there's a woman in Germany who is an expert dowser, and she can douse to calibrate consciousness. So we had her douse or calibrate the consciousness of this company at the beginning and then at the end. And there was a huge shift in consciousness.
Wow.
What we're going to be tackling now is this rogue element. And I put up a post called Rogue, what did I call it? Dead Animals and Rogue Elements.
Oh.
So my Facebook group gets involved in things like this. There are women who really want to do energetic work and help to change the world, and they're working to change themselves, of course, but then they want to step up to the plate and do something as a group. And so we're going to begin to focus on that very issue. Interesting you should bring it up, Lance.
Yeah. Well, whatever comes into my head just kind of cycles through my mouth.
Are you psychic, do you think?
maybe. A little empathic, maybe. The other thing that seems interesting is that everything has a flip side. So, you know, Facebook could be seen as a backdoor to various alphabet soup agencies. But on the other hand, here you are empowering women to change the consciousness of, you know, at the corporate level, which is such an ugly manifestation on the planet today. It's like an octopus that's sucking the lifeblood out of everything that has life force.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a particular company that I don't care for. I mean, there's quite a few you could, you know, go down a line, but there's one that's doing a lot of genetic modification, and it just seems to be an tireless resource. It just goes on and on and on. And so we need people like you to help bring this balance and shift the consciousness. Do you think that that's possible within some of these groups that are just seem to be diehard set on their plans?
Absolutely. I mean,
okay,
the more of us focusing on it, the better. But the trick is, I mean, it's what we were saying earlier. People are being given an ultimatum now. This is no longer acceptable. Genetically engineering food is really no longer acceptable if you don't know the outcome, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the trick really is, if you're going to do that kind of energetic work, to bring to rest within yourself any bias that you have, right? And it comes back to the message of my book, which is there's nothing wrong with a patriarchy. The patriarchy is about the navel chakra or energy center, the third dimension, the third chakra, learnings about power, and at the present time on the planet, learnings about abuse of power. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a necessary stage that humanity has had to go through. But that stage is over. It has culminated. And so it is no longer tolerated to inject darkness into the planet, right? So if you can bring your issues with regard to genetic engineering to rest within yourself, to see that, you know, there are certain individuals who are playing that out, there are certain learnings that are taking place. If you can take the charge off of it within yourself, then you stand in balance and you're able to look in meditation, energetically direct your attention or love or light to the CEO or the company, right?
Mm-hmm. Right,
that's the way you return something to light. You have to bring it to light within yourself first. Otherwise, you're just projecting whatever the charge is that you have on it out onto
the company. That's right, and making it more real.
Yes, exactly.
Just giving it more energy.
Exactly.
Well, as you said in your book, there is really nothing outside of ourselves.
Right.
And that's a very difficult concept to grasp, and it's one that I, you know, continually have to remind myself that, you know, everything I think is outside myself is not. And a lot of it is projection, and, you know, I have to look within myself when something, when the universe mirrors something back to me, I need to look within to find out what it is trying to tell me.
Excellent, yeah.
So...
Absolutely. Of course, there is a third-dimensional world. I mean, it's, you know, on that level, it is very real. But the problem is that we all have an egoic structure. We all have defenses in place. We all have conditioning in place.
Mm-hmm.
And we view the world through that egoic structure, so we're not seeing the world as it
really is. That's right.
A formless, a beautiful flux of energy. We're seeing our own projected mind onto it. We're overlaying it. So often when I work with groups of women in my workshops, you know, these issues come up. I have this situation at work, you know, or I have this custody battle for my child. And always the answer to how to solve the problem at hand is solve it within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If it's a custody battle for the child, if that's what's playing out in awareness, in the physical, then there's some issue that is asking, is begging for your attention internally regarding custody or free will or, right? Something that's being denied, something
that's
being unconscious. And if you balance it within yourself, that situation in the physical literally goes away.
Yeah. Same thing with healing issues. You know, various forms of disease and various manifestations that come up in our lives that make us sick.
Yeah.
Those are all, you know, as I see it, they're all messages at the soul level.
Exactly. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we define ourselves by them. You know, Carolyn Mace, what, do you know the woman, the medical intuitive, who's so brilliant?
Oh, M-Y-S. Yeah, Carolyn Miss.
Miss, yes.
Yeah.
But she, I was so interested to read an interview with her, and she said when she gives her seminars and helps people begin the process of healing themselves, she was amazed at how few people wanted, when they were actually given the opportunity, how few people wanted to, because it meant that they had to give up their definition.
Right.
Of who they are, right? I'm a person with cancer, or I'm a person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a payoff for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We are fascinating beings, aren't we?
Yes.
Very complex.
No question about that one. Now, how important is it for us to be aware of, to eventually have the secrets revealed about what's really been going on in our? And our heritage and where we came from, is this all something that will come out in due time, the secrets that have been held back from us and the secret space program and the various bases on other, you know, planets and whatever else is, you know, being cooked up by the global elite? Is it important for those things to come out, or can we just let them go and move on and... find free energy for ourselves? I mean, we know that already exists.
I don't know quite how to answer that. I do feel strongly on, you know, there are most people who are here on the planet who are really what you might call spiritual activists or sacred. I think Andrew Harvey uses the term sacred activism. Oh, I just lost my train of thought. The heck was I going to say? Oh, they're creators. They're really interested in building the new world.
Yeah.
And I come at it from a completely different vantage point because, really, technically, I'm a destroyer.
Right. Kali.
Yeah, I used the Kali energy. My job was to disassemble, to dismantle.
Yeah.
In collaboration with some other women, we played the Kali role.
Yeah.
And so I'm not as keen on sticking around to help create this new world. But
right.
Most of the people, because it's not my forte, but most of the people who are here are very interested in doing that. And I feel strongly that that is not really a viable option until
right.
2012. Because sometime near the end of 2012, presumably the energies... And again, we're speaking on a spiritual, energetic level.
Uh-huh.
The energies are going to lock in place, and that will be the foundation on which this new world, built within this new paradigm of consciousness, will be constructed, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But until that time, we can't salvage the parts of the old patriarchal structure and recycle them. We don't know what parts to recycle. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. It seems intuitively that it all seems kind of needs to come down.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a bad stage play that it's over, and, you know, instead of keeping the parts on to get moldy, we need to disassemble the whole thing and start with a clean slate.
Right. And there are learnings around that, right?
Yes.
And so many of us on a spiritual path, if you say the words death and destruction, then suddenly a barrier goes back. Oh, no, that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to go there. Nothing wrong with death and destruction. It's
right.
part of the cycle of existence. It's an
right.
absolutely necessary
right.
part of the cycle of existence. So I think my idea is just to stay focused in the moment on what is happening now. And what is happening is, as you say, this world is coming apart. We're done with it. It's like... The props and the scenery from a play that's been done.
Yeah, yeah. So as this world falls apart, of course, we have expectations about wonder where, you know, I see things dying constantly. I see the process of death and destruction occurring, and I haven't yet seen the process of creation. Maybe I just need to be more patient and begin envisioning, you know, what it is that I would like to see.
Hmm.
But it does seem that this world is not going to be surviving. This particular one isn't going to be staying in the same form, at least as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, we're back to trying to see the future, and I think
right. That's right. That's right.
It's really difficult.
Yeah, you're right. So let's get back into the moment, and you mentioned that 2012 will be a locking in of the energies.
Mm.
Where are those energies originating, and is this a level of consciousness that the Mayans and Carl Kellerman, for instance, suggest that? We'll be involved with the ninth wave, and this is kind of the beginning of another cycle?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think that, my teacher once said, at the end of a cycle, certain energetic configurations go away,
mm-hmm.
and others come into being, right? That's the way I begin my book. So that's all. It's just a recycling of energy. Certain energies are winding down,
mm-hmm.
and other energies, other configurations in energy will be manifesting. But the energies, my seeing is that the energies will begin to lock down at the end of this year.
Okay.
And I don't know how that relates to the Mayan calendar. I think perhaps it does. We're in the, sixth night now, or the...
I think we're in the seventh day.
Seventh day, okay.
Yeah.
So, and time, of course, is speeding up, and those segments in the Mayan calendar are getting shorter and shorter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the next one ends about October or November. But
the
thing that's so interesting about this year is that all stops have been taken out. Everything is in complete flux. So literally an individual... can do in terms of consciousness anything.
Now, how does that work, and how did that occur? In other words, how did all the stops get pulled out? that had to be something done at our collective higher self level.
I'm not getting anything on that. It's sort of like the image that's coming into my mind is just, you know, when you let water out of a bathtub.
Right,
and it's going down the drain, right? There's a moment in time when the bathtub is empty, all the water has gone down the drain. And you can look and you can see, oh, the last bit of water is swirling and going down the drain.
Yeah,
it's just the way it feels.
Okay, okay.
And I stop and look at it on the inner planes. And so, you know, when all the water's gone down, so there's no water left to go down, but it hasn't started to fill up with something new,
right?
Then there's a gap, right?
Right.
So we're in the gap time. And it means, at least the way it manifests for me, is that, I think this occurred on the winter solstice, the world split even further. I talk about this a little bit in my book, how the worlds split. And so the patriarchal world, or the old cycle world, and we're at the end of the cycle, the unwinding of the patriarchy is simply the end of a very long cycle of time, right?
Yes.
But the worlds have been splitting apart. And so since the winter solstice in December, it has felt rather like being on a large ocean liner that is going out to sea, and you can look back in the distance and see the coastline, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, we've split even further. If you're on that ocean liner, which is the new paradigm in consciousness, if you've already taken up residence now, the old world really can't touch you anymore.
Oh, that's a beautiful vision, a beautiful metaphor.
Yeah.
That's really a wonderful way to see it. Of course, that is conditional upon the fact that maybe the Titanic is not written on the side of our boat.
Well, who knows? I mean, maybe we will be the Titanic and learn that we can breathe water. I mean, anything is possible.
Right. Tippy Hedren in one of the lifeboats.
So it's really possible, you know, to be fully in residence in that world and to literally manifest anything you want in terms of your own spiritual evolution. So if you can dream it, you know, you can manifest it at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're just beginning to tap into, you know, I do these workshops for women now all over the world, and we're just beginning to tap into this one mind, this one heart, one mind, this how to use it, how to disseminate information, how to make, how all this information is readily available if you yourself are willing to assimilate it. This is magic. This year is pure alchemy. Yeah.
Yes, transformation. Now, how can I was going to ask what are some of the most important actions we can all take to empower the divine feminine principle within? What about the unbalanced males that are living in the patriarchy? I suppose, since this is a world of choice, that this has to be something that we come to, that men come to as part of the process of a spiritual evolution.
Yeah. That's the other big shift that I personally am seeing this year, is that the work, you know, my theory is, if I could just lay it out here briefly, that we're all trying to balance the masculine and feminine. The reason we talk in those terms is because all other imbalances are predicated on the imbalance of the masculine and the feminine. If we want to go right down to the root cause of all of our problems, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a progression in the way that that is playing out. And really what has to happen first is that women have to reclaim what I call their solar, right? So reclaim their power, the solar feminine, and stand in their power. So women are being asked to move out onto the front lines of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And that, in relationship to that, men then will have the opportunity to react against or with, as they choose, that upsurgence of female consciousness. And that's absolutely necessary because in order for a man to throw off his conditioning, which mm-hmm. says he is purely solar and not lunar, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
he has to be the strong, the active, the passionate, the creative, and deny the lunar side, which is the receptive, the nurturing, the quiet, the yin quality within
mm-hmm.
himself,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So this crescendo of female power allows men collectively and individually to react against that. And therefore, if there is any remaining conditioning that needs to be dealt with in the unconsciousness, in the unconscious about the feminine, mm-hmm. they have the opportunity to do that. So last year for women, it was really, in terms of my work, what I observed, very much behind the scenes. You know, we're back to that play and being a prop master or moving
mm-hmm.
scenery around. Women were working quietly, making preparations, but they were really in the shadows. This year is totally different.
Mm.
Women are front and center. The spotlight is on the balancing of the masculine and the feminine.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, and so I'm feeling then inwardly on the masculine side two responses, and one is, you know, anger, and you really need to have your head examined, and the other is a sense of relief.
Huh.
Because you see, if the masculine has been conditioned to hold the solar, and the woman has been conditioned to hold the lunar, it's only when the woman begins to reclaim this solar that the man can, to an equivalent degree, begin to relax back into the lunar.
Himself.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
So there's a sense of relief I'm feeling with a lot of men, which is very welcome and interesting, I think.
Well, yes, I would think that would be that way as well. It takes the pressure off and the false beliefs and the acts that we adopt as part of our life routine can be dropped.
Exactly. And it makes room for something, something new to be explored.
Right. And there's an opportunity for different archetypes to show up, and beauty and compassion and love, which is sorely needed on the planet at this time.
Yeah, so the big job of the masculine, as I see it, is to really, I mean, we both have the job of throwing off our conditioning. Our conditioning is 180 degrees reversed. That's what it should be. But the job of the masculine is really to reclaim the heart, to reclaim the lunar, right?
Yes.
In order to balance himself out.
Well, unfortunately, we live in such a barbaric world that there's a great deal of abuse that's still going on. That's continuing the suppression of any kind of positive life force by the abuse of children and women and men as well. But it seems that there's a lot of that going on still, playing itself out.
Yes, but you know, Lance, it's interesting. I at one point became fascinated with human trafficking and sex slaves and this whole area that you're bringing up. And I spent an entire weekend watching documentaries and things on YouTube about sexual slaves.
Uh-huh.
And then at the end of the weekend, I because I was very upset, and I thought, wow, this is just terrific.
Yeah.
And I meditated on it. And what I actually saw was that many of these souls, many of the young women who were involved, had actually been men in past lives, in their last life, who had been an abuser.
Okay, right.
And because we are at the end of a cycle and everything is speeding up, the quickest way to balance out that polarity within themselves was to flip it over and be abused. And I thought, oh my God, that's, why would you take that learning away from that individual, which I think does not mean that we don't fight against human trafficking, because it is incorrect.
Right.
It is out of balance, and we don't form NGOs to stop it. Not at all.
Right.
I'm not suggesting that. But it was so interesting to see. It was a really clear illustration to me of how spirit is always doing exactly the right thing for all of us at exactly the right time.
Yes.
We just trust in that, you know.
Yes, that's really important. That's really important. And also to know that what we see is not what is. We don't have the ability to see behind the scenes and, you know, what a soul's journey has been and what is being acted out. And there are also angelic realms that incarnate to act out various plays for our benefit to, you know, for a number of reasons, to open hearts and so on and so forth. I hear a lot lately about satanic and Luciferian sources trying to come into power, and is that anything that to talk about, or is that just part of the same package of the, you know, the patriarchy that's starting to die out?
I do think it's starting to die out. You know, when I did my research for my book has a lot of research in it about what was going on in the world, and I was extremely naive when I began my project, and I had to do a wealth of reading for 6 months. And I kept stumbling across, you know, the Bohemian Groves and the satanic rituals, and a part of me just backed up and went, oh, I don't know. It wasn't relevant to what I was researching in the first place. But secondly, it was just pretty horrific, the energy, and I decided not to go there.
Yeah.
And so I had never really investigated it, and I couldn't form an opinion on it. But then, you know, as we began looking at the various global elite, this interesting thing has happened since the antagonist in my book, you know, the man in the South Pacific.
Yes.
You know, at that time, between 2002 and 2004, he was the man, the most powerful man on the planet. He was the man poised to run things.
Yeah.
And my death was sort of tied in with his death, actually.
Uh-huh.
And the whole story is on my free archives on my website, if anyone is interested. But there was actually an entity, a force, behind him that propelled him forward. And my inner battle was with that force. And when that force was taken out of commission and returned to the light, then it's like yanking a plug out of the wall. You know, if someone has been hooked into a force that's really giving them their power and their ability to see, and you unplug that, the person's physical collapses. And so he was taken, he passed. He's the only one of the global elite I know that has really died, left the body. But then, of course, there was a vacuum left in terms of the power structure. And so there were a couple of people who stood up and decided, all right, maybe it's time for me to make my play. And each time someone stands up, there are those light workers on the planet who begin focusing on them and return them to the light. So at some point, there was someone who came to the forefront that I believe is commonly referred to as the Black Pope.
Yes.
That's the name that I've heard.
Yes.
And I don't know exactly what the tie was, but when I began looking into his energy, I did see that somehow that line ran through the Vatican. I wasn't sure exactly how. I don't think he's at the Vatican, but somehow his energy is tied in there.
Mm.
And I focused on him, and the first time I looked in meditation, I went, oh, my God, this man really does kill children and drink their blood. I had never, as I said, I'd never wanted to really go there and admit it, but as soon as I focused on him, it was clear that I've never seen such a, I usually don't use the word evil, but his countenance was pure evil.
Yes, I saw a visual of that myself.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah.
He too was returned to the light, interestingly enough.
Oh, he has.
So the game continues, you know.
Boy, the game's afoot, Watson. Well, what are some of the techniques that, now that we've talked a little bit about the dark side, used by the masters to help us connect to Source, and how do you view Source?
We're switching gears now. You're talking about the Ascended Masters, or the... We're not talking about the global elite anymore.
No.
Okay.
The the good guys, the light, the masters of light.
Uh-huh. So say again, how do we connect with them? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, in other words, ultimately, who's in charge of this show? I know I'm kind of being silly about it, but people use the word source and God and creator and all that is and the infinite light and so on and so forth, and some say there just is consciousness. How do we connect to the highest energies or levels of consciousness within?
Yeah, well, it's, again, we're back to how do we view it? Do we view it from the personal self or the universal self?
Mm-hmm.
But if we say, what is source, you know, what is the highest power? We are.
Mm.
We are. I mean, this is what self-realization or enlightenment or awakening, that's what that means. It simply means that one realizes, oh, I am that. Thou art
mm-hmm.
that, all of this is that, as they say in Zen, right? That
mm-hmm.
which can't
mm-hmm.
be described,
mm-hmm.
that which can't be named, can only be experienced.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So once the personal self is completely eradicated,
mm-hmm.
we become that, the
mm-hmm.
universal self. We become source. We always have been. It was just overshadowed by the personal self.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is literally what unity means. We are all that. We are simply, I mean, I suppose you could think of it as just taking a strand of luminosity and
mm-hmm.
splitting it into all of its rainbow colors, right?
Mm.
And then splitting those into different frequencies and different dimensions of color. And then suddenly, you know, you have a whole planet that's populated with human souls.
Mm.
But really, we came from that, we contain that one strand of luminosity. We always have.
Wow.
Yeah, and so we just eventually go home. That's what the yearning, that's what the, when one steps on a spiritual path, that's exactly what that yearning is that can't really be put into words. It's just wanting to go home again, isn't it?
Yes. And it seems like a lot of people are feeling that today, myself included.
Mm-hmm.
Lucia, where is your website before we have to sign off? And tell us where they can find your book and find out more about you.
Yes, I've got my little bonus books up for your readers, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, so they can get it at a discounted rate if they want it.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, the website is unplugfromthepatriarchy.com. And if they go to the archives section and look for, you know, the interview with Zany Mystic, they'll see some little red bonus buttons, and you just
Ooh.
Click on those, and you can buy the book. I think it's for only $9, and we'll ship it to you free here in the U.S., which is a real steal.
Yes, it is. Believe me.
So, yeah, and I have lots of free archives and interesting things. So I would invite your listeners to come. I would be delighted.
Well, wonderful. I can't thank you enough for coming back, and I want you to continue to return and keep us enlightened and help us to become enlightened. And I can't recommend your book enough. It's really an outstanding spiritual odyssey.
Thank you for having me on, Lance. It's always a pleasure.
Wonderful. Well, good night, everybody, and good night, Lucia. Thank you so much again.